The late night host had some fun with Governor Doug Ducey ignoring President Trump's call the other day as the governor was certifying Arizona's election. Trevor Noah said, "That is cold. Sending the president of the United States a voicemail like he's spam," which he is, but still. Colbert said, "The president called him while he was signing, and the governor sent him straight to voicemail. That is a guy who's picked up the phone once too often. Yes, Mr. President, you told me. Yeah, massive dumps. Right, listen, I gotta go. Arizona's going through a tunnel. Shh." Trevor, you know, Fox and friends were watching this like, "Oh, that's a good trick. We can just not answer the phone. We got to try that." Kimmel, "I believe the young people call that ghosting." Corden, "Trump just got friendizoned." Trevor, "You know what makes this move especially gangster is that he knew Trump was watching him on live TV. We've all had that moment where we think someone's ignoring our call or our text, but to actually see it, to see him look at his phone, see your name and then put it away, ah, that had to hurt." And Corden said, "You got to admit it's a savage move. Savage move from anyone who still uses custom ringtones." Hey, here's a pro tip. If you host a podcast, put Ricky Gervais's name in the title and you'll get extra downloads. That's what one host did, and he read from the Daily Mail saying Ricky Gervais thought he was going to die after he almost choked on a smoothie. Can you smell the clickbait? I did. Ricky said he sent his partner Gene Fallon into a panic when he couldn't breathe after taking a gulp of a smoothie in a hotel where he's filming his Netflix series Afterlife. He told the Daily Mirror, "I was just going down to the hotel to film after Afterlife, and I had a smoothie. I must have coughed or breathed, and then I couldn't breathe. I started choking, and I couldn't breathe, and my throat closed up, and I went on the floor, and Jane was worried, and then eventually I got a little bit of air in." Can you imagine if you tune into this podcast one day, and I'm like, "Ricky Gervais has passed away at the age of 59. He has choked on a smoothie." I mean, it's not funny, but he didn't actually choke on a smoothie, so yeah, it's freaking hilarious. Ricky, I've seen your comedy. You know it's a funny bit. Trevor Noah spoke to GQ, and he said, "The one trapping of America that I realized I was starting to slip into is that America believes that you're perpetually poor. America is the only country in the world where the news will say, Mark Zuckerberg lost $50 billion today. Well, he didn't lose $50 billion. The worth of his stocks dropped, and they're going to go up. It's just like an imaginary game that people are playing, and it's a weird game. It tricks people into thinking that they didn't have enough, when in fact, we have what we need. And so that's what I don't want to get back to. I don't want to be the hardest working man in Hollywood. I don't want to be on the Forbes list," which, by the way, has listed him in the past as the fourth highest earning comedian in the world. Wow. "I don't want to be part of any of that. Forbes happiest list? Put me there if there's such a thing." Colin Quinn spoke to Decider. They wanted his opinion on Saturday Night Live this season. Colin said, "I see little clips once in a while, you know, on social media, but I never watch the show anymore. I haven't watched the show since I left. You know, I've watched a little clip here and there. I don't know. Everyone says it's relevant. I mean, that was the genius of the show, was that it was always days like these, which what it was meant for. And it's so funny because you would just think now that there's 20 shows, Colbert, John Oliver, Trevor Noah, everybody, Jimmy, they're all doing jokes like that all week about the news, and everybody on social media is doing jokes, and everybody everywhere is weighing in. You think people wouldn't be going, what's SNL going to say about it? But they still do, and that's an amazing thing." Vulture caught up with Jay Jordan and asked him, "What have you done in quarantine for comedy that you thought you would never do?" The answer, a wise man once said, "People always make fun of front-facing videos until you get paid to do a few." I had people reach out to me regarding my questions to stop asking bisexual people video with Freeform, and it was all love. People came out to me. The fact that I did something to affirm and uplift members of my community during all this mess was really moving. They asked him for the best comedy advice and the worst comedy advice he ever received. He said, "The best advice I ever got was from Roy Wood Jr. Roy told him, our own mental state is the only true hurdle in comedy, not the industry herself, but our inability to endure when the industry punches you in the chest, which it will repeatedly." And that was motivational and scary at the same time. The worst comedy advice he ever got? Dumb down his sets. Jeff Dunham spoke to Pop Culture, and he said, "There's two things I've said over the years that have surprised me. The number one thing was going to play arenas, because when I was a kid in college and started dipping my toe in the comedy club world and then got pretty good in the comedy club business, my goal was always to be on The Tonight Show. I hit that after 10 years after graduating from high school. Then I got to 2,000-seat theaters and started selling those out. Then my agent said, well, it's time to go to the arenas, and I'm like, what's an arena? The second was the international aspect. When YouTube came along and Ahmed the Dead Terrorist took off like a rocket and it went around the world, then I was able to sell out shows in many different countries. That was the second. That was the surreal part. When I'm on stage in Abu Dhabi or Singapore or South Africa or Australia, That's the part where I go, how in the world did this happen with a stupid little puppet show? It's fun, and I don't take any bit of it for granted. I know that tastes change very quickly. Most people have 15 minutes of fame, so I treat it like a business and treat the fans in the most appreciative manner as possible. Showbiz Cheat Sheet wrote about Bob Hope, which I thought was random, but I'm a big Bob Hope fan. I've had the pleasure of speaking with Bob's daughter, Linda, several times. I will encourage you to go back and look at the young Bob Hope, the quick Bob Hope. I know a lot of people's memories are formed by, you know, 85-year-old Bob Hope limping through an NBC special. Go back and watch Bob Hope at his prime. But what Cheat Sheet dusted off was from the Bob Hope biography and the part about how Johnny Carson didn't like having Bob Hope on the show, per the book. Carson was the only star at NBC who could challenge Hope for clout and the network. Hope had been a primetime powerhouse for NBC since 1950, and NBC considered Hope still the king, meaning Carson had to defer. So for Johnny Carson's Tonight Show, it meant that Bob Hope could virtually book himself on the Tonight Show whenever he had something to promote, which seemed to be all the time. Carson apparently resented that. Carson mostly put Hope on out of Hollywood duty. Peter LaSalle was one of the producers on that show, and he said, we'd get a request, and Johnny would go, again? And I'd say, do you want to tell him no? And he'd say, no, you can't turn down Bob Hope. Hope's guest appearances became more of a trial for Carson over the years, and when Hope's health began to fail and he struggled to stay on topic, after one Hope appearance that Carson found disastrous, Carson turned to his writers and said, if I ever end up like that, guys, I want you to shoot me. Johnny admired Hope's place in show business, but he was not a great admirer of his work. Yeah, Bob would come on. You can see these on Carson Comedy Classics, whatever it's called. They're on like, there's like a couple TV networks that just show like old stuff. One of them shows Carson reruns. And about 2 years ago, I started watching Johnny Carson every night at 11:30. And it was great. Even if the jokes are timely dated, Johnny is just so strong. But Bob Hope would show up and Johnny would try and have a real conversation. And Hope is one of those guests. And I've talked about this on the podcast recently. There are the guests who have conversations and they're the guests who would like, you know, do their bit. So you try and have a real conversation with Bob Hope. And again, I love Bob Hope. And it'd be like, yeah, hey, how about that Nixon, huh? Punchline, punchline, punchline. And it's just like, okay, but this isn't a real conversation. So Hope on Carson, yeah, not the best guest, but Bob Hope's career overall, awesome. Now back to this line that Johnny said, if I ever end up like that, guys, I want you to shoot me. Now remember, when Johnny stepped down from The Tonight Show, we saw him one more time. Once he appeared on Letterman, and then that was it. You have no memory of old Johnny Carson. You have no memory of a failing Johnny Carson. You have no memory of Johnny past his prime. Johnny walked off on top, and that is the memory he left you with. Tomorrow on the podcast, an interview with comedian Jeremy Nunes. I think you're going to come away liking him a lot. I could have talked to him for a really long time. Now, stay tuned to the end. You'll find out why I wrapped the interview. You'll find out why I was pre-recording a bunch of episodes, like 2 weeks ago. And you'll see what's going on. Stay for the end. But Jeremy Nunes was really cool. He's got a new special on Amazon that you should check out. And while I'm here, let me plug the weekly comedy thing. That's the show I host on the Live by Live app. That app is free. Live by Live, Live X Live, if you're typing it into a browser. On there, you'll find several comedy radio stations, which I program, and the weekly comedy thing, which is kind of like this show, but different. On that show, I go a lot shorter with the news stories and I play bits. This podcast actually came from me working on that show. I've been doing it for like 5 or 6 years. And every week I'd be like, I have all these stories. Like, how would I possibly tell a 4-minute Johnny Carson Bob Hope story? I can't on that show, but on this podcast, I can. On the flip side, because of like rights and royalties and stuff, I can't play comedy bits here, but I can there. So as an example, if I tell a story about John Mulaney on that show, then you hear a John Mulaney clip. So it's called the Weekly Comedy Thing. It's on the Live by Live app, and you can listen for free. Just grab the app. Your phone's already in your hand. Just do it, man. Follow this show, Daily Comedy News, on Spotify, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows. Back tomorrow with Jeremy Nunes.